Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, today is April 8th. Yeah. Time is 7:35 p.m. We're here at the scene. We're going to be talking with Deputy Jason Fuller, ID number 2423. He was assigned as 9 Robert 41, and we will begin the interview. Okay, Jason, where were you just prior to, I would assume it was a call, right?
Yes.
Okay, where were you at the time?
I was westbound on Teal Boulevard at Rancho Road.
Okay.
And I heard the call go out. I think it was 9-voice call. Since I was in the area, I said that I'd go ahead and back him. I heard it as a suicidal subject.
Okay. Call. So you advised the dispatcher in your group?
Yes.
Okay. Where was that location that you were going to?
It was the Stuffed Pizza at the corner of Brazil and...
Pennsfield there?
Yeah, Pennsfield.
Yeah. Okay. And you were going to assist who now?
Whoever it was, it was primary. I think it was 9-boy, but I can't remember for sure whose primary car.
Okay. So you're driving. What direction did you take to get there?
I went down Teal Boulevard to Duesenberg, to Hodenkamp,
mm-hmm.
up Hodenkamp to Wilbur, and then down Wilbur to whatever street this is.
Pennsfield?
As well. Yeah, Pennsfield, and
okay.
then down Pennsfield.
Okay.
And then I started driving around the apartment complex looking for him because a citizen who flagged one of our units down said that they saw him in the apartment complex.
Okay. Did you notice anything at the time around the pizza place?
No.
No. Okay. So we're talking about the apartments right across Lori Lane there?
Yes,
those apartments?
Lori Lane apartments.
That'll be the Biltmore, I think.
Yeah, the Biltmore apartments. Right.
Okay, so you get to Pennsfield and Brazil.
Okay.
Where to?
And then after that, I turned left on Brazil, and
okay.
then I turned up the back parking lot of the Biltmore Apartments.
Oh, the alleyway?
That runs
okay.
adjacent to Pennsfield.
Yeah, the carports area?
And I drove north. I didn't see anything, so then I went down Brazil to Lori Lane.
Well, did you go back down to Brazil? And
yeah, or no, I'm sorry, Wilbur. I went down Wilbur to Lori Lane.
So you came up here, you turned
right,
right
on Wilbur,
and then right on Lori Lane.
Right, and went down Lori Lane. And then turned right again on Wilbur.
On Brazil.
On Brazil.
Okay.
And then I turned right again up this back parking lot, again, of the Biltmore.
Okay.
At that point, I saw Deputy Kelly and his trainee on foot, and they were walking north as well and through the parking lot. And I saw Vince Camus driving. He had just made a right-hand turn, so he was driving south in the parking lot of the Biltmore.
Towards you.
Towards me.
Okay.
And Vince had got a hold of me on Channel 4, and he asked if I had seen him. And at that point, I saw the subject, somebody that looked like him, all dressed in black, that was the description, step out of the apartment complex and start walking right past Camus' position. Kelly got on.
Okay, we stopped there.
So
I'm going to draw this
okay.
here. Let's say this is the back of the apartments here. These are the carports, right?
Right.
Okay, you're coming up this way.
Right.
You see Camus here.
Right.
You know how far up you were or down he went?
I was about maybe a third of the way up, and he had just entered.
He just entered?
Yeah.
Okay, so this would be Wilbur.
Right.
Okay. And where do you see the guy come out of?
He comes out right about here and starts walking north towards Wilbur.
So he passes Camus. Huh?
Well, Kelly sees this too, Deputy Kelly, and gets on the radio and says, "That's him right there, Vince." So Vince opens his door, and I see him go towards the subject.
Uh-huh.
The subject takes off on foot across Wilbur to this parking lot here.
When he takes off, does he run?
Yeah, he's running.
Okay,
yeah.
And what's the Camus do at that point?
He's running after him, and Kelly and his trainee are running after him.
So Kelly and his trainee are
on foot,
here.
Okay. Right, and they're running after him. And Vince is running after him.
Okay. So, suspect goes across the street up this driveway here?
Right, but he doesn't go very far because I stay in my unit and I drive across Wilbur up here as well to try to cut him off.
Okay.
And he jumps the fence somewhere at this first building.
Okay,
I can show
so
you
he
where.
He goes up the driveway where the command post is?
Actually a little bit south of that, and he jumps the wall.
Well, he turns right in this other this one down in that
yeah.
parking lot right here?
Yeah, the very first parking lot that runs
this
right
one here or the one on the other
side? The one further.
Oh, okay.
And he jumps the fence.
He jumps the fence. Now, that's the fence that goes into that
into
empty,
this empty field.
Field,
right.
Okay, so he'll be just... so he enters the driveway just before he passes the first building and hangs a right.
Yeah, because he sees me in the unit, and so he realizes that he's not going to get away by continuing up the driveway.
Okay, by
so,
seeing you, did he turn around and
yeah,
look at you?
Yeah, he turned around and looked at me,
uh-huh.
and I looked at him, and that's when I knew who he was, because I had dealt with him before.
Okay, did you have your lights on? Or?
Yeah, lights and siren were on.
Light the sirens on.
Right.
Okay. All the time as she came across the street? Okay.
And all the way up the driveway. Now, it wasn't here when he jumped in. It was on the other side of the road.
Right. Okay. So you stopped there. When he turns around and looks at you...
And he was running as he looked over his shoulder.
Did you notice anything in his hands at the time?
No. I did see that he had blood on his left arm.
Left arm?
Right. It was bloody, but I didn't see anything in his hand at that point.
Now, let's reflect back. You said you kind of had contacts with him before?
Prior contacts, yeah.
Yeah. What kind of contacts were those?
He's a transient in the area, and a lot of times he sleeps behind 80 Silcrest, the Social Security admin building.
Oh, yeah.
And he's on probation for, I think, some drug charges and some petty theft stuff.
Okay.
And he hangs out with some white supremacists. I know his mom lives on Los Feliz, and she has a restraining order or something against him. So,
oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, so he doesn't... He's always, like, living in bushes and at the shelters. And
so all that time you saw him, he was alone, nobody else with him?
Right.
Okay. So he's running...
He ran east and jumped the fence.
Right. Okay.
And at that point, I lost sight of him. So I continued up north all the way up the driveway to the swim school and saw it was a dead end back there.
Uh-huh.
So I turned around, I came south, and then I turned east down Wilbur, and I went up to the next apartment complex, the driveway.
Shadow Oaks
Apartments.
Okay.
And I drove north all the way to the end of the apartment complex, and I stopped my unit there.
Okay.
And then I got out of my car, and I was looking to see if I could see where he was at, but I didn't see anybody. And I could hear, I think it was Mayo and Camus and Kelly in the bushes a little bit south of where I was at.
Okay, so we're at the Shadow Oaks Apartments.
Northwest corner of the parking lot.
Yeah, because between here and there, there's like...
A bunch of empty field. And
there's an empty field here. There's a classic limousine, I think, building here in the front.
Right.
And then the apartments are after that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're at the far northwest corner. Okay. What's up there again? You said a power?
Yeah, there's a bunch of power poles and stuff also
fenced
off over there.
Okay.
Inside that field.
So if I draw that here, we're going to call that the Shadow Oaks Apartments. It goes like this, right?
Yeah.
This is the driveway going up.
Right.
And
I'm at the very far corner right here.
Right here?
Right. It's kind of like a dirt hill with a chain link fence, and the carport ends right about here.
Okay. There's a hill up this way, right?
Yeah, a little embankment with a chain link fence.
Chain link fence.
And then beyond the chain link fence is all field.
Okay. And where do you see Camus and
I hear him over here.
Over here?
Down in the field area on the other side of the carport.
And that's Kelly and his trainee?
Yeah. I don't know if his trainee was
But you hear Kelly and...
And
Camus.
I think it was Mayo and Camus.
Mayo?
Yeah. And this is the chain link fence stops and it becomes a block wall.
When you say by hearing,
I can hear the radios and stuff.
You can hear the radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I went over here to the chain link fence where it meets the block wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of pushed down. You can see where people have jumped it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get up on top of it to see if I could see where it was at. Mm-hmm. And at first I didn't see him. And Vince asked me, somebody asked me, do you see him? And I said, no, not yet.
Is that over the radio?
No, verbally.
Okay.
And then I looked down, and along the block wall right here, the subject was crouched down on the ground.
Okay. This area here.
Right.
Okay.
And I said, there he is right there. I see him. And at that point, he got up, and he tried to run past me on the chain link fence.
Okay, let's stop there. So he's crouched down here where it says S.
Right.
Now, how far down is Kelly and Mayo and Camus?
Maybe 20 feet. There's a whole bunch of bushes and stuff right here that separates him from them.
Okay. When you see him, does he see you?
No, he doesn't see me at that point.
But you see him crouched
down? Right.
Okay. Do you yell anything at him again?
No, the only thing I say at that time is, I see him. He's right there. I see him.
You yelled out to these guys?
Right.
Okay.
And at that point, that's when he got up and started to run.
Which way did he run?
He ran right towards me on the other side of the chain link fence.
In this direction?
Right.
Okay.
So what I did is I reached over the chain link fence because I was kind of standing on it.
Uh-huh.
And I reached over the chain link fence with my left hand and grabbed his jacket.
All right.
And then after that point, after I had a hold of his jacket, I jumped off the chain link fence. So I kind of pulled him up against the fence because I still had his jacket and he was stuck. He couldn't go anywhere. I saw that, you know, his left arm was covered in blood, and I saw in his right hand, I saw a black and gold penknife.
Okay.
In his right hand.
All right.
So as soon as I grabbed him and I did that, I said, I have him. I have a hold of him. And then the subject took the penknife in his right hand and he started cutting his left wrist, just cutting it open. And it had already been really severely cut.
While you're hanging onto his jacket.
While I'm hanging onto him.
Grabbing the jacket? In the collar area?
Yeah, in the collar hood area.
Okay.
And he just starts cutting away. And I tell him, I say, hey, you're not in trouble. We're just here to help you. You know, I say, knock it off. And he just ignores me. At that point, I was afraid that he might try to cut me. So I had him with one hand and I had my sidearm out.
Uh-huh.
And I was pointing it at him. And then I thought, well, if he's trying to kill himself and he sees my gun, he may do something to try to force me to shoot him.
Uh-huh.
So I put my gun back because there was still the chain link fence between us. And the only thing he could really cut me was with the arm I was holding him with.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Okay, what hand was the knife?
The hand that he had the knife in was his right hand.
Right hand.
He was cutting his left arm.
Right. How was he cutting it?
He was just slicing it in a horizontal motion from wrist to elbow. Like
could you see the actual skin?
Yeah, oh yeah, I could see, yeah.
Blood
yeah, I could see it down to the bone.
Okay.
Yeah, and he just kept doing the same motion in the same area.
Does he say anything to himself?
He doesn't say a word. Nothing.
You, hear or feel him breathing hard or...
Nope.
Nothing?
Uh-uh.
No expression at all?
No.
No, no. But when he's doing that, where is he looking?
He's looking right at his arm, cutting it.
Cutting it.
Right.
Okay.
So I put my sidearm away, and I guess at some point his left arm came up because I ended up with his blood on my right arm. And I don't know exactly how that happened. Sometime during the scuffle. I don't know if maybe...
Sorry,
I'll go
with
I don't know if he tried to swing at me and I blocked it or what, but somehow I got his blood on my right arm.
Okay,
but anyway, so
but going back, did he ever swing that thing at you?
Not the knife, no.
Not the knife?
No.
Okay, but
if anything, it was his left arm, because okay. I don't know where I...
So how did you lose him again?
So then what happened was I had him, and I put my gun away,
and
then I took out my pepper spray, and I sprayed him with my pepper spray, because he was... Well, actually, before that... He took the knife and he stuck the handle end in his mouth to hold it in his mouth with the blade end out.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to unzip his jacket because I had a hold of it and he couldn't get away. So when he tried to unzip his jacket, I let go of him and I reached with my left hand to grab the knife out of his mouth. But he grabbed it back out of his mouth before I could get a hold of it.
Okay, what did the knife look like?
It was maybe about, I don't know, diameter of like my pen light here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was black, and I think it had some gold in it, but then it had like a razor blade type X-Acto knife blade at the end.
Okay.
And so I think at that point I let go of him when I tried to grab the knife, and he had fallen down. He had already crouched down trying to take his jacket off, and I had reached over the fence, and that's when I pepper sprayed him.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you hit him?
I think in the side of the face, maybe the back of the head and neck.
Okay.
And then after that, I jumped off the fence because I was kind of, you know, I kind of sucked in some of the OC myself. And he got up and then ran westbound through the field. And at that point, Vince and Mayo and Kelly came up.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, he went that way. And I told him, I said, we need less lethal, you know, because nobody had it at that point.
Okay.
So then Kelly asked me, do you have it in your car? Because my car was right there. And I said, no, my car is not equipped with less lethal. So then Mayo jumped the fence and got in my car, and I drove him down to Wilbur so he could get his less lethal out of his unit. At that time, I ran into...
Okay, but where in Wilbur was he?
Well, we didn't end up getting that far.
So you jump in his car.
In my car.
Yeah, you drive back out.
Back down to Wilbur.
Turn right.
Turn right and park maybe in front of that limo service or whatever.
Okay.
I let Mayo out of the backseat of my car, and I see Bonebright and Welty with the less lethal. And I tell him, I say, if you guys see him, you need to shoot him with that because he's cutting himself.
Okay.
So then they ran up, I guess, somewhere in this field. And when I looked up there, I saw them approaching him, and I saw everybody else around him.
Okay, where were you when you saw him?
I was on Wilbur.
You saw Bonebright and Welty running north?
North through the open field.
Open field?
Right.
Okay.
And further north of that, I saw the subject sitting on a block wall.
Okay, were you out of your car at the time?
Yeah, I was out of my car.
Okay. And you're on a driveway, like I would think, right?
I think I was still on the sidewalk, actually.
On the sidewalk?
We're kind of in the driveway, yeah.
Okay.
You can
see him, huh?
Yeah, I could see. There's an opening somewhere down there.
Well, that's quite a distance we're talking about.
Yeah, I'd say it was probably 50 yards.
All right.
But I could see him sitting on a wall, and I could see everybody else around him.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw that, and then I heard somebody say, you know, or tell... I heard somebody tell Crystal that he was coming back down towards us, because at that point I was standing near Crystal down at Wilbur.
Okay.
And I saw her take out her sidearm and start to run kind of northwest towards this parking lot again.
Okay.
So I took out my baton and I followed her up the driveway, and we got up about probably about here, and I looked up and I saw the subject walking.
Uh-huh.
And I saw everybody around him, and then I heard this pop, 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 and I thought it was, because I didn't know, I thought it was a less lethal that I was hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still walking, and then I heard the pop, pop, pop again, and then I saw him fall. And at that point I thought, oh, less lethal must have knocked him down.
Well, as you came up here with Crystal, when you look up that driveway, mm-hmm. do you see anybody else between you and Tamu and the suspect?
No. No, the suspect was walking north with the wall on one side of him, and everybody else on the, so the wall's to the west of him, and everybody else is standing to the east of him, east or south of him. And
by everyone, who are you talking about?
Let's
go back. As you make your turn, as you come up the driveway, what do you see? You see the suspect walking?
I see him walking, and I see Kamu to the east of him,
uh-huh.
and I see Kelly up there, I think just south of Kamu. And somebody else was up there, but I don't remember who it was.
Were they standing in the driveway area?
Yeah, they were standing in the parking lot area.
Okay.
Kind of like between him and where the school was at.
Let's take a short break here.
Okay.
So we're going to start that you and Crystal were running westbound.
West on
Wilbur. You came up the driveway. This diagram, you can see it here. And as you turn the corner up here with Crystal,
right.
How far up do you see Tamu and Kelly?
Probably at least 50 yards. Or maybe
50 yards?
Yeah.
Okay. And you see our suspect on the west side, right, of the parking lot near the wall?
Right.
And Tamu's on the east?
Right.
Where was Kelly at the time?
I think Kelly was just south of him.
South of him here?
Right.
Okay.
And then I believe Welty and Bonebright were like south of Kelly.
Down here?
Right.
Okay. As you're running up, and just prior to hearing the first set of pops, what do you see?
I see Daniels. I see him walking north.
Okay. And his manner of walking?
Just walking. Just walking. Nonchalant.
No threats or anything?
I didn't know.
Okay.
I mean, he wasn't moving in any kind of frantic motion or anything.
Okay. How far do you think he was from Kamu? Okay. Was Kamu on the curb, or was he still in the driveway?
I think he was on the curb.
On the curb?
But, it was close. It was within 6 feet, eight feet, maybe.
All right. So the two of you are going up. And at what point do you hear the first set of pops?
Just pretty much right around the time that I got to there, and then maybe 10 feet further up. And then I heard the pop, pop, pop.
You heard another set of pops?
Yeah, and then I heard the pops, and then but he was just walking like nothing hit him, and I was thinking, oh, they're hitting him with a beanbag, but it's not affecting him.
So the first set of pops, he's still walking. Set of pops, he's still walking?
No, then I hear the pop, pop, pop again, and then I just see him fall. And
fall.
At that point, I was thinking, okay, well, the beanbag must have...
The second time you hear those pops, what do you see up here?
Everybody's still in the same place.
Same place?
When the first pops happen.
Okay. Did you see him make any turns or anything? Or?
No, I didn't see him make any turns.
Okay. were you close enough to actually see, or were you a little bit too far as to see what was going on?
Well, the only thing I could see is just everybody standing up there, and I could just see the suspect because he was wearing all the black.
Okay.
And his back was to me, and I could just tell that with his movements that he was just walking. There was no running or anything.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't see any kind of lateral movement or anything. But, uh-huh. I mean, it was a distance.
Did you hear any yelling at the time?
I didn't hear any yelling.
Nothing. Okay. And once you hear the second set of pop, he falls.
He falls, right.
Okay, what do you do at that point?
At that point, that's when I started to continue up the driveway to where he was at. And then, because I was thinking, well, they just shot him with less lethal, so they're going to have to secure him or anything. And then when I got up there, I found out that they shot him with a handgun. So.
Okay. Did you hold on?
At that point, he was still laying on his stomach.
Mm-hmm. Did you see where his hands were at the time when he was laying down?
When he had fell down, I think his hands were out in front of him when he fell down.
Did you notice where the knife was at?
No, I didn't.
Okay. And what did you do at that point once?
Then we just kind of stood around and waited for paramedics and everybody to get here. Yeah, because okay. I know we called for somebody called for on the radio.
Okay.
But then it was as I continued walking up, that's when I heard somebody get on the radio say shots fired, suspect down. But still, at that point, I was still thinking it was an back. I didn't know it was an
where on here did you hear the radio call about shots fired? Okay.
As I was still continuing north after it happened.
Gotcha.
After it happened, he was down.
Yes. Can you think of anything else? No. Going back to over there by the northwest corner of the Shadow Oaks,
when
you grabbed hold of his collar.
Right.
And again, did he say anything?
He didn't say a word.
What was your, impression? I mean, of him, his manner or anything?
Well, I was shocked because, I had a hold of him and he didn't even look at me. He just took the knife in his right arm or right hand and just started carving away.
When he's carving, are they long strokes?
Yeah, I mean, it's fast and it's because I saw him turn his left hand over and I could see the incision. It was pretty deep and pretty wide. And he stuck the knife right in that incision and just started going back and forth with it again.
So his left wrist is up and he's taking the
And he's just putting it inside the cut that's already there, which was deep. I mean, I could see the bone.
Okay.
And he just kept working it back and forth.
Uh-huh.
But he wasn't saying a word or...
Did you smell any kind of odor on him or anything like that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anything else you can think of?
No.
Okay. But I've got 8 o'clock. This will conclude the interview.